perfect gift, the perfect gift. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, we're going back to this Sunday. It says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress." And that part always just encourages me. For as a believer, we don't have to live in gloom. Can you say amen? "For those who were in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." How many of you know that that covers us today? How, praise the Lord. "You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before You as people rejoiced at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder." Have you ever been super blessed? Raise your hand if you've ever been just really super blessed. Well, that's what He's talking about. See, I'm blessed all the time. Anyone else this morning? "For as in the days of Midian's defeat, You have shattered the yoke that burdens them." Anybody's burdens been broken and shattered in your life? Hallelujah. We have a reason to shout, don't we? "The bars across their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom and establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Hallelujah. And then the second verse, script text today is in James chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does no change like shifting, does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of His truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created." Father, we thank You again for Your word today. There's already just an awareness of Your presence in the house. So, Lord, we don't have to invite You. You're here. You are here. And, Lord, we don't have to ask You to anoint Your word. You've already inspired it. You've already anointed it. Now, God, anoint me as I preach. And, God, anoint our ears and hearts to receive and accomplish what You desire in our lives today. In Jesus' name we ask. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. Every good gift comes from the Father above. My, oh, my. Do you thank God for every good gift you receive? For every good thing that comes your way, whether it comes through a friend, through your job, or some other means? Christmas is definitely in the air. All you had to do was be here yesterday and see all the booths, see the decorations today, watch the TV, listen to the radio. Christmas is in the air. TV commercials, Christmas specials, Christmas music fills the airwaves as the atmosphere of the shopping malls are just filled. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be able to go shopping in America and hear songs about Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King? Isn't it wonderful to still do that in America? Because there are some places you just cannot do that. You know, it's been God's will to send Jesus. I'm so glad He's come. How about you? Over 2,000 years ago, He made the promise of a Savior for all of mankind. God's promises are His will. Did anybody hear that? God's promises are His will. The perfect gift is the promise of God's will. It was God's will that Jesus came, that He lived, that He died, that He rose again, and that He's at the right hand of the Father today. It's God's will that He sent Jesus. The perfect gift has come. Hallelujah. Now remember from last week's message, the perfect gift should meet a need and have value for the one receiving the gift. So as you do your Christmas shopping, if you've not completed it already, keep that in mind. Whatever you buy for that person, think about it as meeting a need that they have and being of value to them when they receive it. I can think back over the years, there's one or two people in my life that every year I get the same gift. Anybody have relatives that give you the same gift? A handkerchief? Or a pair of socks? How many of you get the same gift year after year? Am I the only one? Okay, thank you, brother. Boy, and I appreciate that gift. But how many of you like to be surprised? Let me ask you, as I get into this message today, have you really been surprised at how Jesus has changed your life if you've given your life to Him? Is anybody here amazed at how Jesus has turned your life around? Raise your hand if you are. And if you are, why don't you just say thank you to Him for just a moment as we get into this message today. Dear God, thank you that I never dreamed what you've done for me, in me, and for me, and what you're doing today. We have a reason to praise the Lord. I saw the news this week about a New York City police officer. You may have seen it. Who saw a homeless man on the street in New York City, had no shoes, no socks. He didn't know that as he looked at this homeless man that his picture was being taken by a tourist. No shoes, no socks. He went into the shoe store, bought socks and shoes for the homeless man. He met a need. The homeless man's face glowed as he received the boots and the help of the officer as together they put on his socks and his shoes. Isn't that wonderful? Now that's Christmas. He spent $70 of his own money not knowing that someone was watching, taking pictures, and ended up on the Today Show. You never know who's watching when you try to reach out to someone else. I know who really matters that's watching, and His name is Jesus. What a story. This is really what Christmas is about. This is who Jesus is, and this is what He does for us. He meets our needs, doesn't He? And as He does, He adds value to our lives. Jesus never causes a person to feel less than they are. If anything, He causes you to feel more than you are. Can you say amen to that today? Amen. Through Christ, we can honestly say, I once was lost, what? But now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, through Christ, it's so wonderful to be able to say that. It's an awesome thing to be able to say, Jesus saved a wretch, a sinner like me. Listen, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Anybody else in the house? I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And I hope and pray that you are as well. There's a song that we sing sometimes in chapel and in our school, and we've sung it a time or two here. And the words are, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Oh, and I like the next verse that we sing in chapel sometimes. It says, the devil's mad, and I am glad. The devil's mad, and I am glad. The devil's mad, and I am glad. He lost a soul that he thought he had. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Anybody been redeemed? Oh, hallelujah. He lost a soul that he thought he had. Jesus is still in the soul-saving business. See, we can make statements like this and we can sing songs like this out of a sincere heart because of who Jesus is. Who He is. I have only one main point today. Number one is this. Jesus is. Jesus is. When Moses asked, you know, who am I to tell sent me if I'm going to go deliver Israel? He said, just tell them I am sent you. And when I hear that or read that script, you know what it tells me? He's telling me He's everything that I need. I am your healer. I am your strength. I am your hope. I am your baptizer. I am your provider. I am your righteousness. I am all of these kind of things. Just tell them I am, see. Jesus is. Jesus is everything the Bible declares Him to be. In Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7, I want to read it again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called. Have you found Jesus to be everything He said He'd be? Have you found Him to do everything He said He would do? Oh, hallelujah. His name shall be called. Who the Bible calls Jesus to be is exactly who He is. Today's message is a little bit different than last week. It's about definitions or meanings of His name. His name, the Scripture says, is Wonderful Counselor. That word wonderful in this text means a miracle, marvelous thing, a wonder. Miracle, marvelous thing, or wonder. You know what? It's a miracle that God would even consider us worthy of saving. Who here has been the most rotten of sinners? I'm glad I'm not judging. I can't see any of you rotten. How many of you know you've been rotten? Hallelujah. It's a miracle that God would even consider us worthy of saving. It's a miracle that He would send His only Son that we could avoid hell and have a relationship with Him. I tell you, it feels good to know Jesus. It feels good to know my name's written in heaven. It feels good to have a relationship with God. How many of you know anybody can have? Anybody can have that relationship. Virgins in the natural just do not give birth to children. Amen? God did the impossible in order to bring to us Jesus. He started this thing doing the impossible. And it's impossible for a man or a woman to be saved, to have a relationship with God without going through Jesus Christ. You've got to go through the Lord. There's no other way. His name shall be called Wonderful or Miracle. Some translations say, of the word wonderful, it means exceptional. So in verse 6, Wonderful Counselor could be Exceptional Counselor. Every year when we celebrate His birth, we don't need to let it just become a norm that we do through routine and form. Every year when we celebrate His birth, it needs to remind us of the miracle of God's grace and of God's forgiveness as He sent Jesus. He said His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. How many of you found Him to be wonderful? Dear Lord. And then Counselor. The word Counselor means to advise, to deliberate, or resolve. Counselor in this text means consult. Or to give counsel. It means to determine. It means to devise. And I like this last one. It also means to guide purpose. Hallelujah. Did you know that the Wonderful Counselor, Jesus Christ, has determined to guide you in His purpose for your life? The Word says what He began in you, He intends to finish. This Wonderful Counselor, this Counselor Jesus, this Counselor who works through the Holy Spirit has determined, let me say it again, to guide you in His purpose for your life. Every one of us, God has a purpose for our life. How many of you know that? You weren't created to live, to breathe, to eat, to grow old, get gray like me, and die. We were created for more than that. We were born to serve the Lord. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. We've been created to have fellowship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. We have been born to live out a purpose for our lives. And listen, His purpose is a whole lot better than any plan we can devise for ourselves. I want to remind you of that definition again. He guides purpose. Jesus the Counselor guides purpose. Have you ever needed counseling? Have you ever needed for someone to listen to your heart and give you direction? Have you ever been desperate for somebody just to help you and give you some kind of advice along the way? Well, Jesus, the Counselor, will do that. Through His Word, He will do that. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, He will do that. He wants to guide us. He wants to speak. It's one thing to go to Jesus. It's another thing to follow His counsel. Have you ever gone to the Lord and He really dealt with your heart and He showed you what to do and you didn't do it? How many of you have ever had the Lord just really speak to you and give you some direction somehow through word, through a person, through a message? Raise your hand if you've ever had direction from the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to say? That the God of the universe that sent His own Son gave you direction, confirmed what you needed to do, what you needed to say. Did you gladly listen to Him and follow His advice? You know, He's the one with the authority. He's the one with the authority. Not Satan. Jesus can make it happen. He can make what needs to happen in your life, in your finances, in your health, in your situations. Let me ask you today, are you anxious today to hear Jesus teach or speak God's way concerning your life? Lord, I want Your will in my life. How many of you ever prayed, God, I want Your will? I want You to... But how many of you know He speaks to us, He tells us, but sometimes we hold back? You remember the Scripture in the New Testament? His will is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. His will is something that's always good for us, that's always best for us. I like Isaiah 30 and 21 in the NLT. Your own ears will hear Him speaking of the Lord. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. He's wanting to remind us today, as we look at who the Scriptures say He is, His name shall be called Counselor. He's wanting us to realize today that He knows how to talk to each and every one of us. God knows how to speak to you. God knows how to get your attention. God knows how to talk in the darkest hour. And listen, if we stay in fellowship, He'll talk to us even when it's not dark, when things are good and going well. Sometimes we only seek His face and want His voice and want to hear what He has to say when we're in trouble. God wants us to realize He will talk to us when we're not in trouble. Matter of fact, if we'll let Him talk to us and obey His voice when we're not in trouble, guess what? We'll probably stay out of trouble. Amen. It's good to know that God, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, will speak to us. And any time He has something to say, it's worth listening to. He doesn't just beat the air. He always has a reason when He speaks. The key to following God's counsel is one word, and that's obedience. He shall be called Mighty Counselor, a Miracle Counselor, Exceptional Counselor. But obedience is the key. Amen? Obedience is the key. He shall be called Mighty God. The Scripture, Mighty God. The word mighty means powerful, means warrior, means champion, means chief, giant, mighty one, strong man, valiant man. Jesus, He said, shall be called the Mighty God. I found out He is mighty. I found out He has all the power. He's all these definitions rolled up in one. He's able to do what no person can do. I'm so glad He gives us ability. He anoints us for the task that He calls us to. I've stepped into areas of ministry I've never gone to school for. But I knew God was leading me there. And as I stepped in those areas of ministry, God enabled me and gifted me and anointed me for that task. For 3 years as a principal administrator of the school in New Bern, I'd never done anything like that before. But I knew God opened up the door. And as we stepped in that door, God gave us the anointing, gave me the anointing for the task He called me to. I want to just kind of throw something in here. When we're talking about God's mighty power and ability, let's not rely on our giftings and ability to determine the call. Whatever God wants you to do, He will equip you to do. Don't think it has to always be in the area of what you already see as your giftings. God may want to stretch you and do something in and through you He's never been able to do before. So don't rely on your ability to sing or on the giftings to sew or the giftings to cook or the giftings to do whatever it is that the giftings that you have and think that's the call of God. God knows how to call and put the gifts and abilities in you that you need for what He's called you to do. Can somebody say amen to that? I think all of us need to hear that because sometimes we get ourselves in a box thinking this is where I'm stuck because this is all I know how to do. How many of you know God knows how to do everything that needs to be done in His church, in His kingdom, and He's able to pass that on to you so you can do the work He's called you to do. He's a mighty God. He's our champion. He's our chief. He's able to do again what no person is able to do. I've always loved Ephesians 3:20. I know it's familiar verses to us. But He's able to do, in the King James Version, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. It's a powerful Scripture. Powerful Scripture. See, our imagination cannot comprehend who God is or what God does, or what God can do. How many of you have had big dreams as a believer, as a Christian? How many of you have big dreams? Well, don't throw your dream away. Surrender to the Lord. Make sure it's His dream. Let Him empower. God's able to do more than you've dreamed, more than you've imagined. He's Almighty God. Psalms 145 and 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. You've heard me say before, when I was in Bible college, I really thought the Lord was going to come before I got out. I didn't think I'd get the pastor, get to preach very long. Jesus was going to come. And here I've been pastoring over 35 years. He hadn't come yet. But how many of you know He's coming? And after all these years of studying, I'm finding out when I spend time in His presence and I get into His Word and I get alone with God, I find out how wonderful and powerful and mighty He is. And He's always speaking something fresh and new into my life. Not because the Scriptures change, but because Leo Bracken is changing and Leo Bracken is growing. He's a mighty God, brothers and sisters. He's a mighty God and He's the authority behind the believer. What's it have to do with Him being mighty? Everything. His greatness is unsearchable. You'll never uncover everything there is to know about Him. He's the authority behind the life of the believer. He changes our attitude from I can't to I can. Any former I canners in the house? Might not be proper English. He changes our attitude from I can't to I can. He moves us from being a victim to being what? A victor. Philippians 4:13 says, what? I can? Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. A familiar verse. Sometimes Scriptures become so familiar, if we're not careful, they lose their punch in our life. Amen? Can you do all things through Christ? Romans 8:37. Or 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I didn't say that. He said that. He's a mighty God. What He says, He'll do. He's the power behind your life. He will help you if you let Him. He will empower you if you let Him. He, brothers and sisters, is everything we need. He shall be called the mighty God, and He makes us more than we could ever be without Him. As I grew up as a child, I was one that never spoke unless I was spoken to. Always shy and quiet, believe it or not. When my wife and I first started seeing each other and dating, and she was the one that talked. She talked. I started to say all the time, but she talked. And I didn't much. And now I talk more than she does. I thought I'd get an amen out of that. But you know something? He makes us what He wants us to be if we'll yield to Him. It's not my nature to stand in front of people and to preach like I've preached all these years. It's not my nature to be bold and face people and deal with confrontation. That's not my nature. That's not how I'm made. But God puts in me and God puts in you, God puts in us what we need for the hour if we will allow Him. Talk about a mighty God. He can change you to become anything He wants you to become if you're willing. He'll be called the Everlasting Father as well. Everlasting means eternity. Evermore means old. Means world without end. Everlasting Father. He'll be called, talking of Jesus, He'll be called Everlasting Father. See, Jesus is the Messiah, is the second part of the Trinity. And as a part of the Trinity, He has all the attributes of God, including eternality. He is eternal. And in essence, He is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's God. Can you say amen? Everlasting Father describes Jesus' relationship to time. He's not bothered by time. Well, let me just tell you now, it's 9 minutes till 12. Since we're time conscious, but He's not. See? He's the Everlasting Father. He's talking about His relationship to time. He is everlasting. Just as God is called the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7 and 9. He will be a fatherly ruler throughout eternity. He's going to treat you like His kids in heaven too. How many of you glad? He's not going to just treat you like His kids here and then get you there and treat you differently. He's the Heavenly Father. And throughout eternity, He's going to treat you as that Heavenly Father. This speaks of the foreverness of the kingdom which God promised would come. Talk about the perfect gift. Jesus Christ, Everlasting Father. I really like John 1:12. Perfect gift. Unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. What a gift. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He gave us the power or the right to become. I'm becoming what He wants me to be. I am what He wants me to be, but I'm becoming what He wants me to be. I am saved, but I'm being saved. I am sanctified, but I'm being sanctified. Amen? We have the right to become. Once you know Jesus, you have a right to become everything He wants you to become. The only one that can hold you back is not the devil, or a nagging wife, or a complaining husband, or rebellious children. The only one that can keep you from becoming what He wants you to be and who He wants you to be is you. Don't blame everything on the devil. Sometimes our problems are our fault and not the devil's. And that's not a pat on the back for the devil either. He's still an instigator. We have the right to become. The foreverness of the kingdom is ours. He shall be called Everlasting Father. I know some young men in the ministry who've never known their father. I know some people not in the ministry who've never known their father. So for them, when you start talking about God being their Father, has special meaning. And their relationship to God just does something very special for them because they've never known their Father. I knew my earthly father. He's gone now. Got saved a few months before he passed away. So I know he's with the Lord. I love my dad. But I have never had a father like the Lord God who understood me, who was patient with me, who cared for me, who forgave me, who stood with me and still does. Everlasting. He also shall be called the Prince of Peace. The word prince means head or captain that had rule. The word peace means safe or well or happy. It means health, means prosperity, means favor, means all is well. He shall be called the Prince of Peace. Hebrews 2:10 tells us, for it becometh him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus has the right to be the captain of your salvation. He's the one that suffered so you wouldn't have to. When He went to the cross, He carried your sin and mine. He carried all the sin of the world. That's why on the cross, God turned His back for a moment from His Son. Not because He didn't love Jesus. He couldn't stand to look upon Him with all the sins of the world, with your sin and my sin weighted upon Him. The Father still hates sin. Come on, are you with me? If He turned His back for just a moment on His own Son because He couldn't stand the sin that was on Him, and it was sin He never committed, how do you think God feels when we as believers practice sin? Don't you know He has a hard time looking at us when we are practicing sin and call ourselves His own? Come on, are you with me today? He'll never turn His back on us. The Bible says neither death nor life, principle, none of these kind of things will separate us from God. But I'll tell you something. He still hates sin. And He hated sin when Jesus carried it. And that's why He allowed Jesus to die so we could be free from the bondage, the burden, the weight, and the control of sin in our lives. He's the captain of our salvation. And He is the Prince of Peace. What a gift. Peace. Have you ever struggled at having peace? Have you ever had your peace attacked as a believer? Come on. I have. The devil wants to steal your peace. He'll use everything in life he can to steal your peace. The one thing that everyone is seeking is peace. Nations are seeking peace. Where's Caleb? Caleb was talking to me about Pakistan, and Pakistan was a beautiful country. But all the wars in Pakistan with the Muslims and the attacks on the Christian and all the damage has just about destroyed Pakistan. It used to be a beautiful nation. Don't you know that the people in Pakistan are crying out for peace? Don't you know, do you realize that while we're having church today, there's Christians in Pakistan that are being raped, abused, beaten, and some of them even killed while we sat here? It used to be a country people loved to go to, a beautiful place. They're seeking peace. Around the world, in Egypt, in all kinds of places around the world, they're seeking for peace. Individuals are looking for peace. People want peace. Life is a struggle with very little sense of well-being and peace without Jesus. Some of the most wealthy people who've had it made in our eyes are the most miserable. And some even take their lives when they have everything to live for. Are you with me today? People are looking for happiness. People are looking for prosperity. People are looking for health. They're looking for favor. Let somebody show me a little kindness. Let somebody show me a little favor. Do you know there's a lot of people in our world who don't know what it's like to be loved? That's why Jesus came. People are looking for peace in so many of the wrong places. Alcohol won't bring you peace. The Bible talks about a man drinking and people beating him up. When he wakes up, he didn't even know he got beat up. You know what Scripture says? And then he turns around and says, "Where's my other drink?" Alcohol doesn't bring peace. Drugs don't bring peace. Sex won't bring peace, only physical satisfaction for a season. Money won't bring peace. None of these things will bring peace to our life. It may ease some things in our life, bring some comfort in some ways into our life, but it won't bring peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I don't know what you're going through today, but if you're struggling today and Satan's trying to take your peace, or you're having trouble with your children, or the finances are so tight that it's so tough that it seems like it's hard to have the joy and the peace, I want you to know Jesus hadn't forgotten about you. And if you lean on Him, He has everything under control. Isaiah 48 and 22 says, there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. John 16, 33 says, Jesus said, in me you have peace, in the world you have tribulation. You can be going through one of the hardest times of your life, and if you're walking with Christ, you have peace. How many of you have discovered that? There's a peace there's times that, God, I don't understand this. There's times I thought I ought to be wringing my hands. God said, wasn't it something wrong with me? Something was right with me. When my grandmother passed away in Florida, I got feeling a little sorry for myself. You ever do that? I was real close to my grandma. And I was a little selfish when she passed away. I was so close to her that it really grieved me. And it made me feel like I don't want to get up there and preach. And I don't want to do anything at the funeral. I don't want to do anything. I'm hurting too. When's my time to hurt? Anybody ever said that besides me? Hopefully, be honest. Come on, don't make me feel bad. See, when's my turn, God? If you're not careful in ministry, and this is not my notes, but if you're not careful in life as a Christian and also in ministry, if we're not careful, we can give and give and give to where we finally get to, God, when's my turn? And it can become a stumbling block to us if we're not careful. God, when's my turn for things to go smooth? When's my turn for that good job? When's my turn for this? God has you in the palm of His hand if you belong to Him. You walk with Him and you serve Him. He'll bring the things to pass in your life when you're ready for it, when you need it. He will not forsake you and He will not forget you. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. He really is the Prince of Peace. What a gift to have peace. To us, a child is born. Let me say it slowly and listen again. See if it does anything for you. To us, a child is born. Is it sinking in? To us, a son has been given. Unto us, you and me. This was prophecy concerning you and me. Unto us. This is a promise from God. This is the perfect gift. Through suffering, Jesus became the captain of our salvation. Let me go back and say it again. I really want this to get in our spirit. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon His shoulders. He's the authority. He will be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The NIV says the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this at the end of verse 7. You remember what the NLT said last week? Let me say it again. Verse 7. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. God's passionate commitment to His Word and His passionate commitment to you will make happen what He wants to happen in your life. Jesus is committed to you if you're His. God promises, His promises concerning Jesus happened. Jesus, the Counselor, God's purpose. He is the perfect gift, isn't He? Will you stand with me? He is the perfect gift. God is faithful and He keeps His promises. God is faithful. What? You can trust Him. And He keeps His promises. All the promises are yes and amen. There's still something else we need to do before we leave. Right now, I just want to pray for you. God, just do it a little differently at the close today. I want to pray for you. I appreciate you as God's gift to me, to my wife. Thank God for you. I want to pray for you. Father, I'm so grateful for this congregation. So grateful for their love, for their prayers, for their support. God, I'm grateful for everyone that you've sent to us. My wife and I consider ourselves blessed, Lord. And Lord, we know the reason we're together as a congregation is because of what you've done for all of us. Today, standing in this room, Lord, many of us we've received the perfect gift. And that gift is Jesus as Lord and Savior. And today, God, as I pray over this congregation for all of us today, everyone that's under the sound of my voice in the internet and in this room, I pray, God, that we give the gift that you really want from us. And that's the gift of ourselves. The gift of surrender. The gift, as we receive you, God, of just giving you our life. So God, I pray for the congregation. I pray for those even on internet today. That Holy Spirit, you would just speak and tug and draw all of us close to you. And Lord, if we're living with practicing sin in our lives, God, help us today to repent. To walk away from that and to get closer to you. Lord, if there's some watching or in the service today who've never received you as their Lord and Savior, who've never said, I really want to follow Jesus, may they do that right now. Saying, God, forgive me all my sins of all my past. Come into my heart and life and be my Lord. I give my life to you. God, make it so today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the closing part of this prayer, I want to read Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name.